Thank you so much, and thank you for the privilege to be out here in Bangor, Liberty French Church. What a blessing. Drive by here so many times, and just great knowing that you're here, you're serving the Lord, and you're doing great ministry. I love to hear the ministry of the children, the Vacation Bible School, your ministry to children and teenagers and adults. Linda and I, this is Linda down here with me. We're celebrating this summer our 60th anniversary. So we've been around a while. Actually, we started going together when we were quite young. So it kind of caught on. She graduated 1 week, and the next week we walked into the church across the street and got married. So anyway, we thank the Lord for the privilege to serve Him. We were in the church there in Union, the Baptist Church, for almost 15 years. And then 6 years ago, we retired from the pastorate and have been going out to churches. We have a ministry that we help people write their life stories, and including the gospel in that. And we do that. If you want to look, it's on Facebook, Ministry of Sim. Ministry of Sim, S-I-M, and Seniors in Ministry. So we really enjoy doing that. We've had the privilege of being in three different states doing that. Of course, one of them is our son out in Ohio. He had to have us in his church. And we're glad we've been over in Nebraska. We've been a lot of churches in Iowa. We've been crisscrossing the state. It's just such a blessing to meet new people and to serve the Lord and try to encourage them and challenge them for the Lord in the day we live. Today, I want us to think about national revival, a nationwide revival. I just think we need it so much. If you think about what is most needed in our country, I know that a lot of things are really important. The economy is really important. I know what it's like to not have any money at all. I remember my mother, my dad had left us, and we lived on peanut butter, I remember, and had quite a time there for a while in life. I know what it's like to not have any money, and I know what it's like to have some money, because today we aren't poor as such. We sure aren't eating just peanut butter. Although I still like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But the Lord has blessed us to have two cars and a nice home and wonderful friends. God has blessed us so much in our lives. We are so thankful to Him. But the economy is important. Money is important. We all know that, and if you've been without it, you know what it's like, and you know what it's like to have something, I trust. So the economy is important for our nation. The health issue is so important. We all hear about that every day, about the COVID and all that's going on with that. Linda and I both had that last November. And Lord brought us through it all right without going in the hospital. And thankful for that. And we got through that. We hear a lot about education, our universities and our public schools, homeschool, a lot of education going on. We have the children to teach. Education is really important. Good morals is really important. In life and security. Today I thought about asking for or giving prayer for our grandson who was just deployed to Afghanistan, and for 82nd Airborne, and he out in North Virginia or North Carolina, and now he's on his way to Afghanistan. I don't know what all that's going to hold for him over there, but we certainly appreciate your prayers for him and his father, our son, who is the state chaplain here in Iowa for the Iowa National Guard and also the Air Guard for Iowa. And so our son Mike has a lot of responsibility there with the chaplains for our state. And I know, appreciate your prayers there. And then I mentioned our son already out in Ohio, who's a senior pastor there at a church, Emmanuel Baptist Church. If you want to hear a good sermon sometime, go to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Ohio, and he's got some good ones. And then, of course, our daughter had mentioned before, Joy. She went to be with the Lord here a few years ago and left four children behind. And we remember her, and so thankful that Joy knew the Lord and was serving the Lord as well. Well, you know, we find all of these things, which, and more, that are so important in life. They're, you know, we can't hardly do without them. You know, we've got to have them. You know, a lot of these things that I mentioned, we really need them, and they're so important in our lives. But today, folks, there's something that's more important. There really is. And that's what we're going to look at today in Romans chapter 1 to begin with. Romans chapter 1, I see here what is most important, I believe, in life. Because I think everything else will look up to that, or at least should look up to that, no matter what it is in life. Here the Apostle Paul tells us in chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, excuse me, I'm going to have to go back to chapter 1, verse 16. Let's go back to 15. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. I like that song today about believing. For the Jew first and also the Greek, which includes everybody. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here we find that righteousness of the Lord is so important. Actually, the word righteousness here and in the Old Testament, in the majority of places in the New Testament, means justice. Righteousness means justice. We find that righteousness comes from God. And here we find that righteousness has been revealed through the gospel. There's no righteousness outside of the Lord. Titus tells us that we cannot be righteous in ourselves. We're saved by His mercy. And we find that there's no righteousness in us, in ourselves, but our righteousness comes through God, through the gospel. You can't be righteous without the gospel. The gospel is how we come to know the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the gospel, Paul. He said the gospel is that Jesus lived and He died on the cross. He has risen from the dead. He is alive. That is the gospel. In fact, before that you could put John 3:16. For the God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We find that is the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel is so important because righteousness only comes through the gospel. And we find that righteousness of God is something that is held up really high. And everything in life, what I mentioned in everything, really looks up to God and for righteousness. Right, righteousness, justice, or right living, a right society. Righteousness. Jesus talks about righteousness. Paul, especially in Romans, and righteousness is so important. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm not righteous. Well, you are in Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you're a righteous person. Because that gospel, how you're saved, brought that into your life. You're a righteous person. You have righteousness. Another way it's put is it's been imputed to us as believers. God's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, is imputed to us. And we have that righteousness. If you know Jesus today as your Savior, you have righteousness. If you do not, you do not have God's righteousness. You're in your own righteousness. And we find that true righteousness comes through the gospel. The gospel. Jesus loves us. He gave himself for us. He died on the cross for our sins. He has risen. He's alive. That's the gospel. That's true justice. That is truth. Everything else, you know, that I mentioned today, you know, depends on us. Our economy, even our health system, a lot, although we know God is the ultimate healer. But there's so much that, you know, we have ourselves, which is good. It's not bad. We need it. But we find that the salvation, the righteousness only comes from God. And actually everything else looks up to that as we find of importance in life. Because the economy won't save you. It won't give you eternal life in heaven, no matter how rich you are, how much influence you have, whatever. It will not save you. It will not give you heaven for your home. Even your health and all these things. Security here on earth, even the morals, our family, our homes, they won't save you for heaven. Only Jesus Christ can save us for eternity. Righteousness is so high. It's so uplifted. You know, the book of Proverbs, if you have your Bible, you turn there. This is a scripture that has really come home to me over 4th of July and over the days that we're living. Chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts, lifts up high a nation. Our founding fathers knew that, a lot of them. Not all of them. But a lot of them knew that. That it was God's righteousness that our country was needed. You know, I thought about that. I wonder today if we had to form a country, a nation, could we do it? Could we write a Declaration of Independence? Could we write the Constitution? Could we write these wonderful documents that we have in this world? Could we do that right now? You think we could write anything that really was justice and righteousness and really something that was beyond what man could do? Because there's a lot of divine intervention. You know, I love this Bible handbook I have. I think it's out of print. No, I know it is now. I think it was printed, Haley's Bible Handbook. It was reprinted many, many times. And I think the last one was back in the early 60s. But they have some different sayings of some of the people that you might recognize. George Washington: "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." You see, much of the laws and the things that we have now are from that time, where the Ten Commandments had a great influence on the laws that we have. The things of the Lord, men and women that were Christians, some of them maybe not, but most of them were under the principles of Christianity. That's why we say, "In God we trust." That's why we say that we're a Christian nation, because that's the way we were founded. Abraham or George Washington, others here, that's really Abraham Lincoln: "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." You know, a rightful place of the Bible. It used to be, I don't know now, some of you may know, Brother Bill or whatever, do we still put our hand on the Bible when we are in court and we say we're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I don't know. I haven't been to court here lately, thank God for that. But that used to be, anyway, a lot of things like that. Daniel Webster, quite a man that wrote the dictionary: "If there is anything in my thoughts or style to communicate, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we, in our prosperity, neglect its instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden the catastrophic may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." That was Daniel Webster. Pretty brilliant man. Had a strong faith in the Lord, the gospel. Someone gave him, a Sunday school teacher, I don't know the story on him. I know some of the great people that we know of in history. A Sunday school teacher told them when they were a child, or they heard a message, that they needed the Lord. So we find that the psalmist, which is wisdom literature from Solomon, righteousness exalts a nation. It lifts up a nation. Righteous nation, and surely it has been in our beginning. Righteousness exalts, it lifts up, it puts it on display, it's high. You know, where is a beacon light for a life, for a lighthouse? It's high. It's in the top. You know, I notice when the winners of the Super Bowl or the National Basketball League or whatever competition there is, when they win first place, even the Olympics, when they win first place, do they sit on the ground? No, they stand and they hold it high, that trophy. That trophy. We won. Look at it. See it. That's what God is saying about righteousness. people that have received the gospel. The gospel, as it goes forth, it brings right kind of living. It brings justice. It brings what we need in life most.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, it does, folks. You know, I would be considered probably an old man. Probably older than most of you in here. Maybe all of you. I'm not sure. But I know it's so true. I know if we try to reach God in any other way except through the gospel, through His Son, Jesus Christ, we fail. And today, I'm afraid that the second part of this verse is more true. And that is, righteousness exalts, it's held up high to a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. Sin. We're all sinners. We all are sinners and we all need to be saved. We all have come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says we fall short of the glory of God. And you know, one thing, I studied out this word glory. It's an interesting word. Because nature, like Psalm 19, talks about the glory of God in creation. The moon and the stars. Creation itself is not from man, it's from God. The heavens, the glory of the heavens, the handiwork of God is not from us, it's from God Himself. He is the Creator. God created the heavens and the earth. Romans or Genesis 1:1. God is the Creator. And the glory of God is in creation. The glory of God is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where it says truth and grace came through Jesus Christ. Glory. Glory is from God. God's glory. But we find sin, even though we all sin and come short of the glory of God, doesn't necessarily block it out completely, but it mars out the glory of God. It's like if you're living in sin, if you're living in sin and you know it and you just live that way, you're blocking out the glory of God. You're tainting the glory of God. He created you. He made you. He loves you. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting, Franklin Graham. Some of you may see him quite a bit on Facebook. I respect him a lot, but I respected his father, Billy Graham. I just thought so much of him and his wife and his family. And you know, Franklin said that he didn't believe that ever a message that his dad preached in all the countries of the world that he was in, which was many, many countries that he had his crusades. He said, I don't think he ever preached a sermon in his crusade that he didn't mention John 3:16. You know why? That's the gospel. Billy Graham was a God-given evangelist. Many, many thousands of people come to know the Lord through his preaching, through the ministry of Billy Graham. The gospel. Righteousness builds up the nation. It builds up a family. It builds up an individual. Even though we're sinners and we sin, we're not living in that sin. I've sinned probably more than anyone here, especially when I was younger. But God forgave me. God forgave me through Jesus, His Son. When I heard the gospel, I responded. You know what happened when in my sin, in my being away from the Lord, you know what happened to me? He started lifting me up. He started lifting me up. And you know something, dear one? I know what it is to live for the world. I've been there. But I know what it is to be lifted in Christ. Righteousness. In myself, there's no good thing. No righteousness. But in Jesus Christ, His shed blood, I find forgiveness of my sin. In His resurrection, I find hope and power. He lifts up our nation with righteousness. That was true. And if you read all the founders, a lot of the founders we'd recognize, like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Webster, and a lot of others, recognized that there was something that made a big difference in their lives. Something lifted them up, even in their struggles or troubles. Do you think there's any troubles in politics? Do you think there's any troubles with our government? Do you think there's any troubles all around us, and maybe sure in our own lives? What will lift you out of that? We sang about that today. What will lift you out of that? Jesus Christ, the gospel of God will lift you up. Sin is down here. It will pull you down. It will make you out something you're not. Well, we all sin. We're all like that. We all sin. But we need to be lifted up. We need to be beyond our sin. We need to be in the hope and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel. Well, today, folks, I said that's for our nation. I'm not trying to evangelize necessarily this church, although my calling is to preach the gospel. But you know, it's going to take a lot of people, a lot of Christians, to hold up that banner, to hold up the Lord in this life, if we're going to have revival. Without revival, folks, it's down here. It's down, and it's down, and it's down. That's what it's going to be without revival. Without what our founder fathers knew, it's going to be down. But it doesn't need to be that way. People can be revived. Our community here needs to be revived. This is an important lighthouse right here. So thankful to hear about your outreach to children. And it's a wonderful thing what you're doing. But just remember how important that gospel is. Because in ourselves, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus. We don't live in ourselves, for ourselves, to ourselves. We live for Jesus. We hold the gospel up high, and people can look up. They can see it. And there's hope in it. There's blessings. Yes, this down here on earth is hard. It's hard. Health is hard. A lot of things are so hard in this life. But we are not overtaken by that. We're not overwhelmed by that. Another song today on fear. We don't fear that. We have the Spirit of God. Those that have received the gospel, we have not the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Isn't that wonderful in the Lord? So today, Linda and I are here. as messengers of the gospel. Because in the gospel, we find righteousness. What will build our nation and hold up our nation strong for the whole world to see? Righteousness. If the world looks at our country and they see sin, they see us living in sin. And a lot of them, even without the Lord, know better than that. Just common sense. That if you live down here, it's not going to bring a prosperity in spirit. It's not going to bring revival. Revival. We need revival in our nation, dear one. We need it all around us. We need it in our own lives. I need revival. In myself, I get down. I get really discouraged sometimes. But when I look up and I see the gospel, I say, Linda, let's go out and preach it today. Let's go declare it. Because that's what it's going to take, folks, for our nation. Pray for those that really guide our nation, that they'll know the Lord. And that even though the practical things sometimes we look at, we say, well, that how can that affect the gospel, affect that decision? It can. It has in the past. And what we have today, many things from the past, and it will in the future if Jesus tarries. I challenge you with that today. Get the gospel high. Put it on top of the church, wherever it is. Put it out here to this community, the gospel. And hopefully we'll be doing the same thing. It's not a matter of denomination or whatever. It's a matter of knowing Jesus and seeing, shining the light around, the light of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege today to address this dear folks, this congregation that has been here for many years, has a tremendous history. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for all those that have stood fast over the years and held up you high in this community. And I pray now in these days, Lord, very challenging days, I pray you would help them to be strong in the power of the Lord and in His might. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.